And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I'm going to hit you with some numbers that are going to make you step back and go, wow, that's a pretty big number. Now, most of you are thinking, when I hit you with a big number, I'm hitting you with a number that's like a return on investment, or I'm hitting you with a number that's an equity capture in a deal. Usually I do that. I hit you with some really big numbers, but these big numbers that I'm about ready to hit you with, you don't want to get hit by these numbers. You don't. What am I talking about? I'm talking about a violation of Fair Housing Act. Yeah, a violation of the Fair Housing Act. There are civil penalties if you violate fair housing. Now, some of you are going, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean this Fair Housing Act? I don't understand what you're talking about. Okay, the Fair Housing Act is an act that is a form of law. It basically states that you have to operate in a certain way if you are offering housing to other people. It's pretty much as simple as that. And if you screw up, if you violate the Fair Housing Act, the first time you do it, check this out, $25,597 fine. Big number. I told you I was going to hit you with some big numbers. Let's say you didn't learn the first time and you did it again. So you have a prior. Now the fine goes to $63,991. Didn't do it right again. Failed a third time. Two priors. Guess what your fine is? $127,983. Now, don't ask me why the government doesn't round these numbers up. I don't understand why they don't do that, but they don't do that. But at the end of the day, those are some massive numbers. Those are some numbers that can put you out of business. They can wreck your entire financial plan. So how does it happen? Well, it happens in the form of something called discrimination. And discrimination comes in many forms. Sometimes it's clearly stated and easy to identify. But in many instances, it is difficult to identify or it's hidden from discovery. Common types of discrimination include, now get this, and if you're doing this, stop doing this. Okay. This is one of these shows that I do where I'm trying to make sure that you don't go into a danger zone. I want to make sure that you're doing everything in accordance with the law because we're a legal society. I mean, we are a legal society. We have laws, we have courts. We stand behind the fact that we're a litigious society. We really are. So let's get back to some of these forms of discrimination that can occur if you are potentially offering housing to somebody. Want to hear them? Okay. First one, treating a person differently because of a protected characteristic. What does that mean? A protected characteristic. All right, let me give you an example. Let's say a landlord evicts a black tenant for unpaid rent, but does not evict a white tenant who has unpaid rent. That's a problem. That is discrimination right there. You are treating somebody differently because of the color of their skin, and you're giving somebody a pass because of the color of their skin. Having served 27 years in the United States Army, I understand that people are much more than the color of their skin. They're absolutely much more than the color of their skin. So if you make decisions based off of people's skin color, you got to get over that. You've got to get past that. You need to stop doing that. It's wrong. It's immoral. It's just not how you treat your fellow person. It isn't. All right, let me get back to some of these common types of discrimination. Harassing a resident or a neighbor because of sex or another protected characteristic. What does that mean? Are they having sex in the property? They might be. What we're talking about is, for example, a landlord tells a female resident he will not evict her for non-payment of rent if she provides him with sexual favors. It's wrong. Don't do it. If you're doing it, stop doing it. If you're not doing it, don't start. Here's another example. Refusing to make a change or an exception to a rule, policy, practice, or service that an applicant or resident may need because of a disability. It's called a reasonable accommodation. Did you know that that exists? It does. It totally exists. Let me give you an example of it. A resident with a disability is behind in his rent due to his disability-related medical payments and applies to a local agency for disability-related emergency assistance. The agency gives the resident a form stating the emergency assistance payments will start within the next 30 days. The resident asks the housing provider to give an extra 30 days so that the resident can use the emergency assistance to make the rent payment. If you refuse to grant this request, it may be an unlawful denial of a reasonable accommodation. Because after all, the resident is doing what the resident needs to do to get back in good graces with the housing provider. Does that make sense? And the fact that the housing provider has a solution being worked and they're not even willing to deal with it, that's a problem. That's an operational problem right there. What are other common types of discrimination? Well, how about if you apply a policy that harms a group of people with a particular protected characteristic more than it harms others who are not in the same group? If the policy does not serve a substantial legitimate purpose or where the policy's purpose could be accomplished in another less discriminatory way. Yeah, that's the government writing that. Yeah, I'm taking this right off HUD.gov. Yeah. Yeah, so now you know where the information's coming from. It's coming right from the federal government. Let me give you an example about this particular type of discrimination. A town has an ordinance. Now, we're talking about a town, okay? We're not talking about a person. We're talking about a town, okay? This is how all this works. A town has an ordinance requiring landlords to evict residents when police are called to their homes multiple times. The town states that the purpose of this ordinance is to reduce crime. However, there is no evidence that the ordinance has actually reduced crime. A woman calls 911 multiple times for police protection because she is the victim of domestic violence. Because women are more frequently victims of domestic violence than men, this ordinance causes disproportionately greater harm to women than men. There are two reasons why this ordinance discriminates because of sex. First, it does not achieve its stated purpose because it doesn't reduce the crime. Second, there are other ways, and actually there are many other ways, to serve the purpose of reducing crime that would be less discriminatory. So the point I'm trying to make is that discrimination can be purposeful or it could be accidental. Either way. But however it is created, it gets created. And remember the fines that I told you about at the beginning of the show? big fines for messing this up. So what is it about the Fair Housing Act that you need to know? The Fair Housing Act prohibits, big word, prohibits, means you can't do it. It prohibits discrimination because of any of the following protected characteristics: race, color, religion, sex, including sexual orientation or gender identity. You have to understand it, and you cannot discriminate against it. You also cannot discriminate against national origin, which is the country of origin or ancestry for an individual. You cannot discriminate based on a disability. A physical or mental impairment that substantially limits an individual's major life activity or bodily function, being regarded as having an impairment or having a record of such an impairment. So you cannot discriminate against a disability. And you cannot discriminate against familial status. In other words, you might have parents or guardians living with a child or children under the age of 18 or in a form of pregnancy. A landlord cannot make the decision to evict anybody based in whole or in part on any of these characteristics. It doesn't matter that the landlord might have the right to evict somebody for another reason. If the reason the decision for eviction was made was based in part in any of these reasons, the landlord violates the Fair Housing Act. Period. Mic drop moment. So, why am I bringing this up? Why am I talking to you about fair housing? Because it came up in a conversation that I had. Yeah, when we come back from the break, I'll tell you about the conversation and what we did about it. Stick around.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Life is challenging and ever-changing. Take control with passive income through real estate investing. Learn how. Learn now. Let Del Walmsley and Lifestyles Unlimited's investors and mentors show you. Meet Del's team and get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007.
Listening to Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon. If you're just joining me and you'd like to reach out to me, the best way to do it is to send me an email at askal@luinc.com. That's askal@luinc.com. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so today by talking about fair housing law. Yeah, kind of a boring subject. I get that. I totally understand that it's a boring subject. But at the end of the day, if you run afoul of fair housing law, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you a lot of money. Yeah, the government takes fair housing very seriously. Very seriously. For instance, let me just, I'm looking at kind of it's a blotter. What's a blotter? Okay, a blotter is just basically a list of different violations that have been filed against individuals who have violated people's fair housing rights. Yeah, I'm looking at a list. Let me just give you some of the stuff I'm looking at. HUD recently announced that it charged a landlord and its property managers in a place with violating the Fair Housing Act by retaliating, threatening, or interfering with the resident's fair housing rights. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? Check this one out. New York City landlord settles record-breaking $1 million housing discrimination suit. It goes on to say the New York City Commission on Human Rights recently announced the largest civil rights settlement in that city's history for a housing discrimination case. The settlement against a particular entity will hold the company accountable for discriminating against vouchers and all kinds of things. $1 million fine. That's a lot of money. This is part of the reason you do not want to mess around with fair housing. Michigan landlord settles fair housing allegations. HUD recently announced that it entered into a conciliation agreement with a Michigan landlord resolving allegations that it denied housing to a woman because of her disability and status as a survivor under the Violence Against Women Act. Do you want to be that person? You don't want to be that person because there's a big price tag associated with that. Check this one out. Tennessee owners guilty of discrimination. Oh my goodness, I can't even say it. It's got a naughty word in the title. Yeah, I don't know where this came from, but it basically says a Tennessee owner is guilty of disability discrimination. What did they do? Well, HUD recently announced that it entered into a voluntary compliance agreement with HUD-funded Tennessee housing providers that will pay, now get this, $50,000 in compensation to the aggrieved parties. $50,000. It's a lot of money. When we're talking about real estate investing, one of the things that we need to do is we need to safeguard our investments. It's part of the reason I'm talking about fair housing law today. Maybe it's to shock you. Maybe it's to scare you. Maybe it's to just get your attention that this is out there. And you could make a little mistake that could cost you a big sum of money. Now, as we were going to break, I told you that the reason for this whole radio show came about as part of a discussion. So what was I discussing? What was I doing? All right, let me give you the background. I was helping a friend, fellow Lifestyles Unlimited member, who has a multifamily apartment community. This is a multifamily apartment community that they took over, and this particular asset is what we call a value play. What that means is there are operational problems, there's some physical problems with the property, there are problems with the resident base in that property, in the fact that the resident base may or may not be paying on time. So What has occurred is that they have helped some people understand that that location is not the right place for them to live. And they've been following all fair housing laws throughout the entire process. So what has occurred is they have created vacancy in the asset because, well, if people don't abide by the rules, and if they don't abide by the lease, they got to go. They got to go. They either are asked to leave, or they are taken through the court system through an eviction process, and they are basically told to leave. So this resulted in the property having about one third of its units vacant. Okay. Now this is a normal thing that happens when you buy a value property. In other words, a property that gives you the opportunity to go in, clean a lot of things up that aren't working correctly, and then put it all back together, so to speak. One of the things that I said I would do for them was I would put together a marketing plan. And the reason I would put a marketing plan together for them is because I've got experience doing that, which they looked at and they had concern. Why did they have concern over, after all, it's my marketing plan. Why would they have concern over my marketing plan? Now, the marketing plan, it never covered race, color, religion. It didn't talk about sex to include sexual orientation or gender identity. Well, one of the things that I suggested was because they have 3-bedroom, 2-bath units, those are units that in my limited view of the world would be best served renting to people with families. Here's the problem. They recognized that because I'm going after families, I am potentially discriminating against people that don't have families. Now, it kind of sounds like, you know, dude, really? Are we really in that nuance? And we are in that nuance. All right. So I had to change some of the language. All right. I had to avoid any wording that suggests a preference, a limitation, or discrimination. Now, here's an area where people do tend to run into trouble. When they're screening their potential residents, they can run into problems. And here's the problem that you run into. You don't treat everybody the same. You don't. You get somebody that comes in and you look at them. They look like they're dressed kind of nice. You checked out their car, kind of driving a nice car. You know, you're thinking, well, I'm just going to run an income check on this person. When your rules say for everybody that comes in looking for housing, you'll run a credit history, a rental history, and you will verify that income. Because you changed the rules, because you made a decision to treat this person a little bit differently than everybody else, you have technically discriminated against everybody else. So you have to make sure that you're treating everybody the same when you're screening them. If your screening process says run a criminal background check, guess what you do? You run a criminal background check on everybody that submits an application, regardless of how they look, regardless of what they drive, regardless of whether they were flirting with you. You treat everybody the same. Now, here's an area where people do get into problems, and it has to do with accommodations for disabilities, because people don't necessarily understand what they need to do. Does that make sense? All right. When I'm marketing to anybody, I have to state the willingness to make reasonable accommodations for residents with disabilities. I do. That includes allowing service animals even if the property has a no pet policy. This makes sure that I'm not discriminating against anyone. Also, one of the things that I ought to do is I ought to highlight any ADA compliant features that I might have at the property, such as ramps, elevators, accessible bathrooms, things like that. Because as somebody that respects people with disabilities, as a United States Army, a former United States Army officer, I know a lot of people that served in the military that, believe it or not, left the military with some form of disability. The military is really good at beating people up. It really is. It did a good job on me. It's done a good job on a lot of other people. So I have a lot of respect for people that have disabilities, mainly because I know a lot of people that have disabilities. It's not that they want to have the disabilities. It's just a function of who they are today. And if we're going to make a reasonable accommodation for disabilities, we probably ought to let people know that we're willing to do it. I mean, at the end of the day, we're not discriminating against anybody by saying, hey, if you have a disability, we'll make a reasonable accommodation for that disability at our property. Might actually be a kind of a smart marketing move, right? Okay, what else should you do? Well, here's something you should avoid doing, something called steering. Steering refers to guiding prospective tenants or prospective residents toward or away from certain units, buildings, or neighborhoods based on protected characteristics. This is strictly prohibited. Let me give you some examples of what causes it. Suggesting families with children live in specific units or on specific floors. You can't do that. You got to give them from everything that's available. Another way you could go wrong is you could direct individuals of certain ethnic backgrounds to specific areas in your complex. That's a big no-no. You don't do that. You do not do that. That is inappropriate. It's immoral. It's unethical. And you just shouldn't do it. Shouldn't do it. And here's something else you really should not do. Practice in discrimination when you promote. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Practicing discrimination when you promote. You have to ensure that any specials or promotions that you're offering, such as discounts or move-in incentives, are offered universally to all qualified applicants, regardless of their protected status. You can't just decide because the pretty girl came in, you're going to give her a move-in discount when the guy that came in, you didn't offer it to him. Does that make sense? You're discriminating against the guy and you're using sex to do it. Yeah, bad stuff. Don't want to be involved with that kind of stuff. And here's something you should do, regardless of whether you're implementing a marketing plan, regardless of whether you've got an advertising plan going on, regardless of what you're doing to try and fill your apartment community up. You have to regularly review your marketing materials to make sure that you're in compliance. Yeah, I mean, you could change an ad campaign and you could run afoul. It's as easy as that. You don't want to be in that situation. Train your staff on fair housing laws and practices, because after all, your staff is on the front lines of your business. And if they're not in line with fair housing law, you've got a problem. You don't want to have a problem. You want to have competent, capable staff that are properly trained in all fair housing laws. Now, it kind of sounds like the fair housing laws thing, it's like a course that you have to take in college, right? That's kind of what it feels like, right? It's not that intense at all. It's just understanding how to not discriminate. So if you're somebody that does not discriminate, you're probably going to have a better opportunity to implement all Fair Housing Act laws because you just don't discriminate. But if you are somebody that has in the past discriminated against somebody for some particular reason, that might have to do with things like, oh, I don't know, race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. You need to correct that. You need to correct that. So after I had a nice conversation with my friend, I revised my marketing plan a little bit because I realized that there were some things in the marketing plan that were problematic to my friend. So once I corrected those things that she identified as being problematic, I was able to give her a document, a source document, that she can follow, that she can implement, so that she can market her apartment community to everybody that's in her target market, which technically would be everybody. Now, of course, we can look at people from an economic perspective, because I didn't see anything on the FHA list that said the protected classes have anything to do with economics. So we can actually discriminate against somebody if they don't make enough money. In other words, because they don't make enough money, they don't qualify to rent our property. Now, is that discrimination? No, I don't think that's discrimination. Well, technically, it is a form of discrimination, right? But it's not a protected class. And because it's not a protected class, we can operate and make decisions based on people's income. The Fair Housing Act exists to protect me, protect you, protect our residents, protect everybody, to prevent discrimination. And if you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for a free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.